In this week's Parsha Avos, we have the most amazing, dramatic meetup, between Yaakov and Yosef. And we know the Torah describes at length the meet. And the brothers come back to Yaakov and they say, Yaakov, through the Yusarach Bas Asher, Yosef is alive. And the Torah says the following words, Vayafa glibo kiloha minlam. Yosef's just, Yaakov, I'm sorry, is totally taken aback. He doesn't believe it. And then it says in the following. It says the Torah the following words. Vayadabru elav as kol divrei Yosef asher dibar alehem. He told them everything Yosef said to them. Vayaras ha'agolos, and he sees the wagons. Yaakov sees the wagons. Asher shalach Yosef asay soso, that Yosef sent to carry Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. Vatichi ruach Yaakov yim, and now he's pacified. Now he has life. Now he's okay. And the obvious question, which all the mafreshim grapple with, is the following: what exactly was it about the agolos that made Yaakov pacified and okay? He heard everything. It says right before that, they told him, as cold, divrei Yosef shadibar alehem. Yosef was very graphic. He showed them that he was mole. He gave them all the simanim. He sat them up in order of brother, and he knew exactly who they were. That doesn't do it for Yaakov. He's not happy. That's not enough. Only when he sees the agolos, only when he sees the wagons that Yosef sends for him, only then, atachi ruach Yaakov avim. What exactly about these wagons was it that made Yaakov okay? And we know Chazal teach us, Chazal tell us the following. What is it about these wagons? So we know Chazal teach us, what was the last parsha that Yaakov and Yosef were involved with? As kol divrei Yosef, says Rashi, siman masar lehem. B'me'al ya'osek ha'shapirish b'menu. B'parshas, egla arufa. These wagons represent egla arufa. Abosa, that just makes it more difficult. You could say pashup shat if you want. Pashup shat. Pashup shat will say is what? He saw that Yosef still was remembering the Torah. After all, 22 years, maybe he's in Mitzrayim, maybe he forgot all of his Torah. So maybe the pashup shat in the Chazal is, don't worry Yaakov, don't worry Abba, I still learned Torah, I still remember the Torah we learned. Here's the agolos to prove that's the pashup shat, maybe. But is there anything particular about the mitzvah of Egla Arufa that was being represented by Yosef to his father Yaakov when he went and sent him this message? Abba, here's the agolos. Here's how you know I'm okay. And when Yaakov saw this, actually, he said, yeah, but tichi ruach Yaakov. And what about the wagons? What about the Egla Arufa per se is what causes Yaakov to be pacified by Yosef sending them? I saw yesterday a beautiful insight to this from Rabbi David Shlita's Rebbe Zatzal. Rabbi David has a lot of rabbein. You can say Rabbi David's rabbein about a lot of people. But one of his close rabbein was a Nissen Alpert Zatzal. It was the Talmud Muvok of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Nissen Alpert was a Gaon Gadol. And he has a svarim here written, called Limude Nissan, put out by his son-in-law, by David Weinberger, Shlita, from Lawrence, New York. Shout out from Lawrence. Oh. Zakt of Nissen Alpert Zatzal, a beautiful, beautiful pshat, which, if we think about it in a deep way, you can help us, I think, in a perspective we should have about our people. What is Egla Arufa? What happens? Tell me a story. What's going on at Egla Arufa? So he says, Egla Arufa has many messages, but let's a basic story. There's a corpse found, a dead body is found between two cities. We're not sure where it came from. Where was this person, where did he leave from most recently? Did he leave from that city? Or did he leave from that city? So the Torah describes at the end, in Parshas, in Sefer Devarim, at the end of Devarim, at the end of Parshas Shoftim, the Torah describes that we go out and measure, and the city that's closest to the corpse has to bring a korban, a whole process, and they have this whole recitation they recite. Listen to what they say. It's unbelievable. They come, and the city that's closer has to say, Anuva Amru. They say, Yadenu lo shavchu es adam hazeh. It wasn't us. We didn't kill this person. We didn't kill him in cold blood. They named him Loro, we didn't see him. Listen to these words. Kaper. Atone. For whom? It should say for the murderer. No. Kaper la'amcha Yisrael asher padisa Hashem. Atone for the entire Jewish people. Va'al titein dam naki bekar amcha Yisrael. Who's at fault for this person dying? everybody. V'nikaper lahem adam. Says Mishnah Alper Zatzal in a beautiful, beautiful insight. Who was Yosef? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaBosai was a person who was never concerned really about himself. He was a person who from the beginning was involved and nervous and worried about others. The Torah describes at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Brunar has been built up as Bnei Zilpah. What does that mean? Rashi says from Chazal, everyone else was tantalizing, tormenting, making fun. Bnei Shvachos, look where you come from, your Shvachos. You're a second class citizen. And Yosef was Makari of them, Chazal say. Yosef was worried about brotherhood. When Yaakov sent Yosef out to see his brother, what does it say? Yaakov says to Yosef, go out. Lech no re, go see es shlom achecha, the peace of your brothers es shlom atzon. When Yosef goes to find him before he's sent after them, it says, he comes to this place and says, what does he say? Es achai anochi vakesh. Yosef is a man of brotherhood. Yosef is a man who cares about family, who cares about his people. And all of a sudden, Yosef's in Mitzrayim, and Yaakov's very worried. What's he worried about? Maybe Yosef in Mitzrayim changed. For 22 years, I didn't hear about him. How do I know that Yosef is the same Yosef? How do I know Yosef still cares about his people, still cares about his brother, still cares about his family, still cares about a people that he's going to become a part of, that he's going to make? Says Miss Nalper. Everything they said about Yaakov, about Yosef in Mitzrayim didn't do a thing. Fine, he has a bismillah shkoyach, very good. And fine, he told you this about him and that about him, that's great. Until Yaakov saw the Egla Arufa, until Yaakov saw the Agolos, until Yaakov saw Yosef is still a person who's concerned about Amcha Yisrael. One person dies in this people, and we all go bananas. It's our people! It's not about me! Once Yaakov sees that, V'tichri Ruach Yaakov Aviyam, Yaakov says, oh, my Yosef remained the same Yosef! He still cares about his people, his family, his brothers and sisters. He still cares about what's Amcha Yisrael to be. V'tichri Ruach Yaakov Aviyam. Yaakov is brought back to life. I boast that this message is a very, very powerful, important message for us to have in our lives. We live, in a certain sense, in a way, in our own winkel. Winkel in Yiddish means corner. We live in our own little world. This one's going to go his way. He'll maybe go to UCLA. Shout out. This one will go to the Army. Another shout out. This one's headed to Cornell. Shout out, maybe. Ulai. This one's going to wherever he's going. This one's going to YU. And I'm in my world. And I'm in my life. Rabosa, as a Jew, we have to understand that it's not about me only and my life, but it's about being part of a nation. It's about being part of a klal. It's about caring for a klal. It's about understanding that there's a bigger picture than Andy Yudin in the world. There's a bigger picture than Avi Strauss in the world. It's a big picture also, but there's a bigger picture than Avi Strauss in the world. There's a picture called the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, that I have to care about. It has to bother me. I'm part of that people. I saw a beautiful story before, and I can share a lot of stories. I'm going to tell you just two lamaisa components of this, and then we'll try to just bring it home. I saw a beautiful story. There was a family from the north who was not, like we say in our show, not yet religious at all. And they came to Bnei Brak for Shabbos. And they lived in a yeshiva in the north that was totally irreligious, totally secular. And they came to there for Shabbos, and they just were, you know, the people that hosted them for Shabbos were a very, very beautiful family. They were trying whatever they could do to try to inspire them to Yiddishkeit. And it wasn't going. They kept saying, oh, it's so nice, but you know, we're so used to our lifestyle, so used to our existence. How in the world are we supposed to get inspired to something that's so far and distant from our existence? They tried the whole Shabbos, the Zmiros, everything. It wasn't going. It wasn't flying. And much of Shabbos, they have to bid farewell. And they know, okay, you know, we tried our best. We gave it our best shot. It didn't go. And they're walking out of Bnei Brak. And instead of walking straight to the bus stop, back to the Northeast people, they start walking through the little alleyways of Bnei Brak. They're walking. And they're trying to prolong the departure as long as possible, because all they want to do is just give these people a taste, authentic taste of Yiddishkeit. And they're walking, and finally come by a shul. And it's 10:30 at night, and they hear a big bustle in the shul, a lot of noise in the shul. People come in the shul, and they ask their hosts, well, what's going on there? And they tell them, you don't understand. Unfortunately, there's a man, there's an avreich, a young married man who's sick. And people gather together at 10:30 at night on Matzah Shabbos, over 100 people to daven for him. And these people ask, do they know him? Do they know who this person is that's sick? And they say, no one knows him. Probably out of the 100 people there, very few know him. But he's a member of the community, so we'll daven it. Take us in, I want to see. But not to a, I don't want to make a stink a scene. Take us to a private corner. Let us, just, I want to, let me experience this. They take him upstairs to Ezra's Nashim, empty Ezra's Nashim, women's section, they look inside, women's section, look down on the shul, and they see children from the age of 4 all the way up to the age of 90. Over 100 of them, in there, davening with their heart out for someone they don't even know. And they said, they start to melt. They don't know this person, and there's so much heart and so much love. It's just a feeling of brotherhood and camaraderie for each other. I want in. They went back home, true story. And then the snowball effect began to happen. And they called back, and Baruch Hashem, the family is from now. It made such an impression upon them. Look, this is a people that care so much about each other. There's a family here like this. A feeling of such brotherhood and achdus. Amcha Yisrael. I want in. I want a part of this. Abosai, it's almost 2 months to the day that Hurricane Sandy came and made its very, very strong imprint on the New York area. On a lot of areas, but the New York area in particular. There's a lot of lessons to learn from that. We've discussed some of them in the past already. One incredible thing that's come out of it is the feeling of camaraderie and brotherhood amongst Klal Yisrael. There are still many families that are not living in their home. I think even a family, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Talmidim in this room is still not yet back in their home, at least one that I know of. They're still not home in their house yet. 2 months after Sandy hit, how do you survive? How do you go on? The answer is because it's Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? People open their homes and open their hearts and open their pockets and open their bank accounts and said, my brother is in need, I want to help him out. There's an organization called Achiezer. Achiezer is an organization which is just totally rocked the entire world. To how much detail? I read him, I have to be honest, my information comes from which magazine? Mishpacha, good, very good. So the Mishpacha magazine, the last week's art edition, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I almost was crying in tears. A family from Farakwe was describing how Achiezer stepped into their family's life and literally helped save the entire thing from falling apart. Their house had feet and feet of water. Everything was would have cost them tons of money to just to get rid of the waste. They organized a crew of people. The guy walks in and sees a big businessman from Lawrence coming and putting on his dirty clothes to help clean out this guy's house. This guy's a gvir, he's a rich guy. And he's coming to offer his help to come take out garbage and junk from someone's house. Mikam Chayisrael. Then Chanukah came. And all of a sudden, 2 days before Chanukah, a bag full of presents for all of his children came so that they could all enjoy and rejoice for Chanukah. And I read this and I said to myself, wow, I am so happy and so proud to be part of this people. Mikiyam Chay Yisrael. Rabosai, we're in yeshiva, and the time in yeshiva certainly is our time. It's time for us to grow, time to work on ourselves, and that's what we're doing, each of us, in his own way, Be'ezus Hashem. But sometimes it's also important to step back and take a bigger perspective, a bigger look, and see, wow, it's not just about me. There's a klal. And what kind of klal? A klal Yisrael. A people that cares about each other, a people that feels for each other, a people that wants what's best for each other. Abosai, we should all be zocha, each person in his own way, to feel part of the klal, to help the klal, to understand the pains, and hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, most importantly, to rejoice in the great simcha that we'll all experience soon of all Klal Yisrael with the coming of the Mashiach, the kingdom here of Yameinu. Amen. Have a good Shabbos.